So we're going to talk about ways lament is a cover for a sinful heart. Now, this is an issue across the board. People who have been around church and good Bible teaching understand how to use good language to hide. For example, some counselees will say they're repentant when they're not biblically repentant. They know that repent is a buzzword. It catches people's attention and gives them reason to respond positively. I mean, after all, who's going to say you're not allowed to repent? Other counselees know how to ask forgiveness. They learned it in prior counseling, maybe, or through their church ministry. And who's going to say, no, I'm not willing to forgive you? Who's going to question whether or not their request for forgiveness is genuine or not? See, normally we wouldn't do that. But do you realize that that actually creates a bit of a vulnerability? Because it means that a person could use good biblical language to their advantage. I remember watching something really strange happen. It actually happened here. It was on a Wednesday night, and a man and his son got into it. I mean, seriously into it. And we're watching this whole thing go down. It was so intense. In fact, it looked like it was going to become a physical altercation. Well, they hopped in an office. 5 minutes later, they come out and they said, we're all good. And I was like, really? Like, we were almost fist fighting here, and 5 minutes later, we're all good. I'm struggling with that one. Because I don't believe in 5 minutes they dealt with what led to that level of craziness. Oh, they could use the language just fine. That they knew the right words to say. But you're telling me that genuine repentance occurred in that moment? And that forgiveness was properly sought before the Lord and each other? Not so sure. So I'm suggesting that there might be times when a person is using lament in a very similar way. And I'm going to pick five. I realize there could be more, but these are the five I'm going to mention. Lament can be a nice word for complain or grumble. Pastor Mark identified that in his book. The nation of Israel grumbled and complained numerous times in the book of Numbers. The Apostle Paul warned the church not to be grumblers or complainers like the nation of Israel. In Philippians, he cautioned believers against complaining because, well, doing things wholeheartedly with joy for the Lord is the only way that we can serve as a light shining in the darkness. In the book of Job, Job's friends blast him for being self-righteous. And the more they appear him to be self-righteous, the more that they go after him. When God finally speaks in Job 38, he takes all of them to task. It's just a reminder that what starts good can turn out bad. Lament is a word that can properly express a heart of grieving and going before the Lord, but it can also represent a heart of grumbling or complaint. And a person, if they use the word complaint, will raise questions. If they use the word lament, then they will be expected to exercise it well and properly. It could look like this. I could start by praying in my heart a godly lament, grieving, presenting my request to the Lord. And then it's not long before I start recounting the words of Psalm 109. O Lord, appoint a wicked man over him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him come forth guilty. And let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. And let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Whew. Not hard to move into those words, huh? So lament can be a code word for complaint, just as let me share a prayer request can be a euphemism for gossip. So the one who laments week after week, offering the same complaints, may actually not be lamenting. They might be living in complaint and wanting you to join them. A second one is lament can be a nice word for self-pity. This is the woe is me person. Some lamenters develop a sense of satisfaction in lamenting itself. It becomes their default. Life occurs in the pit. But instead of acknowledging the pit and wanting to get out, they decide to build their home there. Lament for them is an opportunity to talk about their misery, to gather sympathy, and to bring together a group of people who will live in the pit with them. And then, of course, you have to feel sorry for me. You have to provide for me. And you have to give me the love and affection that I want, or you will feel my wrath, typically in the form of, you just don't understand. Amy Baker gives a lecture on self-pity, and in it she demonstrates that their love for self-pity is miserable, and there's actually a much better solution. This session is called Lament is Not the End Goal, because lament is not the end of the story. I lament my losses, but I also live with purpose, pursuing God's calling with passion. I seek a character more like Christ. But people in self-pity just love their self-pity. It is a space of satisfaction and safety. Bob Kellerman loves to use the phrase crawling in the casket with someone to describe entering into their world and into their hardships. Because many counselees would feel as if they're dead, or at least emotionally dead. They're zombies trying to navigate life. And if we're going to care for them, we need to join them. But Bob would also say, but the goal is not to close the lid. Like, let's lament, let's crawl in the casket, but let's not shut the lid and lock it. This is a place of death. We're entering it with them in order to hurt with them and to care for them, but we're also going to encourage them to get out. Third, lament can be used to enhance our pride. Stuart Scott, in his book, From Pride to Humility, demonstrated that not all pride is gregarious, outspoken, and attention-grabbing. Sitting in misery is another way that I can demonstrate pride. Look at me. I can get people to rally around me and give me whatever I want. I call it sneaky pride. We see the gregarious forms. We call them out. But this pride is a little bit different. Lament can be used to manipulate people. It's another word for manipulation, because who likes to watch people suffer? We may not be able to do anything about it, but we don't like it. I have an acquaintance in Ukraine who sent me a picture of a destroyed park he and his wife visited a few days before a bomb blew it up. Who likes to see that? I once counseled a person whose wife left him. Her mother's furnace wasn't working, so he went to his mother-in-law's to solve the problem. And his wife was mad at her husband for fixing her mom's furnace. And you're just like, really? Who likes that? I've counseled families that blew apart, and rather than respond with repentance, hard-heartedness won the day. And it was sad to see the kids have to deal with the unrepentant parent. See, our normal response is some version of sympathy and empathy or help. Lament pulls at our heartstrings, especially when the stories are sad. Do you see then that it's possible to weaponize it? It's actually possible to weaponize lament.